As your tactical officer, I will continue to do my best to ensure a safe passage home. As a Vulcan, I share the following sentiment. Live long and prosper.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of Earl Grey and Picard. I'm Steven.
I'm Dan.
And today we'll be talking about the season 2 episode of Voyager called Meld. Dan, did you remember much about this episode before you watched it?
When I rewatched it, I rewatched it today actually. When I rewatched it, I was surprised only because there are two episodes with this Betazoid character. I condensed it all down to one episode.
Yeah.
So the whole thing with him dying at the end and all that, I thought it was this episode. I kept waiting for that to happen, the action to start.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah, it's Basics, the end of Basics.
Yeah.
Or no, it's Basics Part 2, he dies. Yeah, Suter.
It was like season 4. Or
oh, five? Season 3, episode 1, he dies. Basics Part 2, and that's his death.
Season 4, episode 1.
No, Basics is part is end of season 2.
But this is season 3, episode 16.
This is season 2.
Season 3. We'll put money on it. I guarantee I'm right.
Nope, season 2. I should have taken you up on that. I had 1% doubt.
Oops.
Yeah, shit. Okay. I wonder when I could have got it.
I wonder why I'm so certain of that.
I could have got a free beer or something. My goodness. Shit. Okay, mental note. Dan up on those offers in the future.
Anyway, we're gonna run right over that one. I kept expecting that episode to happen in the middle of this episode, and it didn't. It was all centered around Tuvok, which is great.
Yeah.
Because this is a Tuvok-centric episode, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because as much as this season of our show is about Tuvok, I don't know about you, it's been really difficult to find Tuvok episodes that we can talk about, because there are obviously good Tuvok episodes, but there are not a lot of good Tuvok episodes to talk about where we can talk about Tuvok.
That's true. And you know, as we talked about before this podcast, he doesn't really change too much throughout the whole series, you know, unlike characters like the Doctor or Data. So
B'Elanna,
yeah. Tom Paris, actually, he changed quite a bit too, you know.
Even when he's pretending to be a bad guy to get in with Seska and all that, and all that stuff.
Yeah, he was a bit of a jerk, you know, in the first two seasons, you know, very rough around the edges, and then, you know, he really just became a family man near the end of the series, and much more responsible and more caring. So, I don't know, I'm not sure how many more Tuvok episodes we'll do, you know, maybe one or two more. And then we might just go on to a different character, or, you know, we even discuss going on to the orb. Okay, and we're back. Sorry for the jump there. Apparently, my computer was running out of hard drive space, and the program crashed. So, anyway, we were talking about maybe doing an Orville-themed podcast in the future. I'm totally down for that. So,
yeah, I think a shorter season of Tuvok might be in the offing. I can't imagine doing a full 10-episode run the way we did with Picard. Not because Tuvok's not a great character. He is. He's fascinating to watch. He is a great example of a Vulcan. He has growth through the show. He has moments of emotion and love and lust and anger and deception and all of those wonderful human emotions. But they're spread over 7 seasons, and they're so... It's a slow, slow, slow build that the way we did with Picard, where there were very specific episodes of Picard you could talk about at length, which you folks have listened to.
How much can a Vulcan truly change in the course of 7 years? You know, like, humans, I think, are a lot more malleable than Vulcans. You know, Vulcans are a lot more stoic and logical.
In this episode, he changes a lot, because of a mind meld. He has...
Changes temporarily, I think.
He's got...
What are the lasting implications of him after this episode?
He has better understanding of people with mental illness,
better understanding of violence, you know, how there can be...
The illogical violence that occurs when there is no reason.
Right, yes. I think he has an acceptance of that, or a knowledge of that now, you know, because during the episode, he was just trying to find some reason in madness, in insanity, when there is no reason sometimes. You know, some people are just completely mad.
There is a point where logic breaks down.
Like the Joker, he was just a completely mad character. There is no rhyme or reason to his
literal chaos. Yeah.
Literal chaos. You know, and that's what Suter had. He, although the doctor said he didn't really have any, he wasn't psychotic really. He was just prone to more aggressive tendencies, right? Which you could say for a lot of the Maquis crew. But okay. Anyway, that's diving deeper into the episode. So we'll get there when we get there. Before we get deeper into the episode, let's just talk about what we're drinking today. So today we actually switched it up a little bit. Dan brought the same four kinds of beer, so we decided to have a little bit of gin and tonic. So today's Earl Grey will be a little bit of gin and tonic.
We'll say while Steve was talking there, we hadn't seen each other in quite a while as well, so before we started recording, we ended up talking for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So we're both already half in the bag.
Yes.
I finished off the majority of the beer that I brought. We had some of the gin that Steven is about to describe, which is, I'm not a gin drinker. This was actually fantastic. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, sure. So it's called Indigo Gin from Metamorphosis, and it's a beautiful blue indigo color. And it's made right here in Ontario, in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And it has a kind of interesting aftertaste, what I would describe as vanilla. Dan did not... You didn't really think of it as vanilla, kind of.
I could see how you got vanilla out of the aftertaste.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's vanilla, only because I've drank really shitty wine that I would say has a vanilla aftertaste, like a shitty red wine.
Yeah, I don't know if I've been like
it
that.
It didn't taste like that. To me, that's a vanilla aftertaste. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like that. But I can totally see how you got vanilla out of that.
Yeah, it's. I think it might be the cucumber, you know. It just had a very different aftertaste from the usual gin I drink, which doesn't have this aftertaste. It's not bad. It's not great. It's just a unique aftertaste. So if you have it, look out for that. I think it's the cucumber. And I like cucumber. I don't like it in my drinks generally. I know some people might, but not me. Like, I know in when I went to Mexico, they would put pickle in my, well, like some vodka drink I had. They put a big pickle in there, and I didn't like that. You know, it's not my thing. But
well, the this gin with a beautiful butterfly on the front of it.
Yes.
It's only the second gin that I've ever had, because every time I've had gin before, it was that Tanqueray stuff.
Yeah.
In the green bottle, which is awful. Horrific.
Well, that's why it's so cheap, you know?
Well, it's garbage. It's like Smirnoff vodka. I would never willingly drink that unless there was nothing else to drink at a party.
Yeah.
This gin was really good.
Yeah, it's double the price.
Yeah, it was really... I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to buy a bottle of it like tomorrow or Friday.
Do it, yeah. Do it, man.
Then coupled with the beer as well, the Flying Monkeys live transmission, it's a good time.
Yeah, you've had it on this podcast before, I believe, right?
It's currently my favorite beer. Favorite beer for the last couple of years.
Really? That's interesting. I'll have to try it. I think I did try it sometime.
It's a creamy IPA, milkshake IPA.
Well, I'm trying one today in combination with a gin. I've had a little bit of gin. Dan's had more gin, I think. You've had two.
I think so, yeah.
And more beer. I'm having this one called Lost in Orbit by Nickelbrook, and I told Dan I would describe.
You have to read the passage.
Yes. So goes like this. So Lost in Orbit. Take another spin around the sun with our hazy IPA, inspired by the cloudy nebulas of deep space. Lost in Orbit shows off juicy tangerine and guava hop flavors in a light, crushable body, perfect for passing time while drifting through the final frontier. Very, very suitable for today's podcast, folks. So far, I'm loving it. It's only a 4.5er. It's the lowest I've ever had on this podcast, but that's the way it is. So that'll go into the rating at the end of the episode. That's our gin and beer for right now, and we'll come back with the ratings later. Okay, so just starting off with the episode, the teaser, Tom Paris being very, very Tom Paris-like. I've always liked that character because he is the most...
You have to read the write-up of the episode.
Yes, I do. Thank you for reminding me. This is the synopsis. So we're doing, as I said, Meld, and here's the synopsis. So Tuvok mind-melds with a murderous Maquis crewman to better understand
their... Maquis or Maquis?
I've always said Maquis. That's how they say it.
Maquis, but not Maquis.
Definitely not Maquis. No. So, with a okay, Tuvok mind melds with a murderous Maquis crewman to better understand the roots of serial killing, losing control of himself in the process. So,
which is basically the entire episode right there.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. We get to see a wide array of emotions in Tuvok this episode.
Oh, Tim Russ.
Tim Russ. Yep. So yeah, teaser, Tom playing some pool, Tom Paris being very Tom Paris. I've always liked him because he's the most 21st century human character on the show, and he's very much like you or me or any of the listeners right now, I'm sure. And
just shooting pool, trying to take advantage of Harry, betting on betting rations.
Yep.
The whole bit. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's early Tom Paris at his best, I'd say. And at this point, he's already acting the part to fool Chakotay, you know, because he wants to...
It's a slow burn on that one as well.
Yeah.
You know what's funny with... what's his name?
Robert Duncan Neal?
No.
The
Betazoid.
The Betazoid, that's...
Smeagol? Not Smeagol.
Smeagol, he's Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings. Brad Dorf is the actor. Suter is the
Suter. So Suter, his eyes are fucked up in both of the episodes that he's in. We're talking about the first episode he shows up in, but in the second episode where he dies, spoilers, his eyes, he's like all pupil.
He is all pupil, yeah.
Deanna is not all pupil, right?
Like, not as much.
I don't remember him being that way, because his eyes are very distinctive.
Yeah, and I made a note of that, and I wondered, are those contacts?
They have to be. There's no way that they're his real eyes. Have to be contacts.
Because there's this one close-up coming up where you can see the brown underneath the black. I'll pause it when it comes, but I love his eyes. I think they're...
Oh, they really stand out. Like, it makes him... adds to his, like, insanity.
Yeah.
But like, as an actor playing, a character like this, he does a really good job. His soliloquies are fantastic.
Yeah.
His whole demeanor...
His presence, you know?
His, like, control... over his impulses that he knows are evil, but he still wants to try and control it. Like,
yep.
He only killed that guy in engineering because
of a look.
Like, he had to. Like he had to. Like as a person, he had to. But still, he knew that it wasn't right.
Yeah,
but he did a really good job of portraying all of those odd emotions.
Yeah, yeah, and I wrote that in my notes. Just how. How good of a job Brad Dorf did with the Suter character, and how much more I would have loved to have seen him throughout the series. You know,
he would have been a great recurring character.
He would have been a great recurring character, you know, like he could have had a very definitive arc, you know, seeing him from this crazy killer, you know, and then reforming himself into like some sort of,
same way 709 was.
Yeah. Reformed, yeah.
Right?
You know, and seeing this actor throughout the rest of the series would have been fantastic. Yeah, Brad Dorf. Yeah. Oh my God. He's a seasoned actor, this guy. And just what he did in the three episodes that he had on the series was just fantastic. Oh, you know? Yeah. So it was really sad to see him go, at the end of Basics.
But if you're going to die on a TV show, that's the way to die.
That's the way to die, yeah.
Sacrifice yourself.
Save the whole crew, you know. Alright. So, another note I had here was the first scene with Tuvok and Neelix. I just love the polar opposites that work there. Do you remember that scene there? Like,
Mr. Vulcan.
Mr. Vulcan, yeah.
Now, I have my own issues with Neelix. I don't appreciate his character as much as I feel I should, but every scene that I've seen with him and Tuvok, other than the one in Tuvok's dream where he choked him, I really enjoy what Neelix does.
Yeah, I think
tries to pull him out, tries to not bring up the humanity, but bring out the emotion in them. I really enjoy that through the whole series.
Yeah, I think they work very, very well together because they're such polar opposite characters.
It's a good chemistry.
Good, right? Chemistry.
Good actors, I think. Yeah.
And another episode we can do before we wrap up the Tuvok season that we're doing, we should do Tuvix, I think.
Yep.
You know, that's one of Tim Russ's. It's one of the best Tuvok episodes. I loved how Neelix was talking about this Rumeria festival where there's clothing optional and everyone runs around in slippery grease. That's an episode I would have loved. I would love to see in like some X-rated Voyager horror movie. Can you imagine? I wonder if there is like an X-rated Rumeria Star Trek horror movie just floating out there.
Definitely Slashvik, for sure. has to be.
I'm sure there's Earth's fanfic of Tuvok and Neelix just making out.
Oh yeah, you just go to town on each other. Yeah.
Yeah, another
every note. 7 years because of
Pong. Every 7 years, Neelix and Tuvok get together. Be hilarious. I make a note here of how much I like Brad Dourif and the character of Suter, which we talked about already. His delivery and those cold black eyes, and the empathy you feel for him at the end of the episode. Well,
he does a good job of portraying like he's not evil. He just has these.
He starts off evil, you know, but
not even though, like, he has these urges that he has to control.
Yeah.
And he hits his breaking point, lets it out. Someone dies, unfortunately, but he knows it's wrong, and he tries to control it and he does a good job of portraying that struggle and that that kind of arch of
like the dichotomy between good and evil, kind of.
The struggle
between good and evil.
The pendulum swinging back and forth. Like it's impressive to watch him do that with a character that should have been on many more episodes, but was only on two. But like, I'm sure. Like I don't know for sure. I haven't looked it up. Like, I haven't read it. I am positive that his portrayal of this character in this episode is what got them to do a second episode with him later.
Quite possibly, yeah.
The show, yeah.
I mean, every scene he's in with Tuvok in Basics 1 and 2,
it's fantastic.
Or with just him and the Doctor in Basics 1 and 2 are fantastic. Some of my favorite scenes.
Oh yeah, him and the Doctor doing it together. Yeah, like they're both trying to empathize. They can't for varying reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great actor, great role, great writing.
I agree.
Everything.
Yeah. I agree. And another note I have here is, one of the reasons we love Tuvok so much is because I think we ultimately envy him as a character and his ability to remain calm and rational during very difficult circumstances. You know, like when he's questioning Suter, and like the whole situation can be stressful for anyone, right? But just his demeanor and his calmness, his rationality, his logic is something, you know, we shall strive for really in any difficult situation. So I think we all want to be Vulcan/Tuvok sometimes in our lives, you know, when things are tough. And I guess that's part of what makes him such an appealing character, is just, you know, the envy we have, or the desire to be more Vulcan in difficult situations. You know, I certainly want that. You know, it's I'm not always the most even keeled when it comes to how should I say it? Like, when it comes to stress, you know, I can get a bit depressed or like anxious or something, right? And but with Tuvok, you know, it's he's completely even keel, and I admire that about the character. You know, and we can all learn a lot from Tuvok, I think.
I like with Tuvok, like especially portrayed at the end of this episode. The end of a few other episodes, I can't remember the name of it, but the team probably would. But at the end of this episode, where he has gone through the ringer, he's gone through the crucible,
Tuvok.
He's been insane, he is anger and rage and destroyed and destruction and everything. He has said these insanely hurtful things, comes out of the other end, he's in the sick bay, and he has the wherewithal and the stamina and the character to apologize to the people that he hurt.
Yeah.
To own up to it, to just say, like, yep, I'm sorry, that was my fault, I shouldn't have done that. This is what I think.
Some humility.
We could all learn something from that.
We could all learn, and that's, I guess, part of the reason why we chose to do a Tuvok season, because, you know, we admire this character so much, and he has such great moments in the show. Such great moments of levity, except the scene we're watching right now where he's killing Neelix.
Watch him choking Neelix only because I'm not a huge fan of the Neelix character. For the most part, because he's a little flamboyant in a way that is not good. But this is fun to watch him choking out Neelix. I was like, and then he wakes up in the holodeck, and like, that's fantastic.
Yeah, at this point, I think he should have just gone to sick bay.
He should have known that something was up. He should have gone right away.
Yeah,
but that whole Vulcan taciturn, I need my mental disciplines, I no other person could understand, only Vulcans could, blah blah blah, I need to meditate, I think out in his own way.
Yeah,
but hopefully by the end of this episode he realizes, hey, I can rely on these people to help me when I am struggling.
Eventually, okay, so we're at right now the B plot of the episode, and I just think it was a very B, or sorry, a very,
not even B, but C.
Yeah, it was just a very weak B plot. The whole plot was just, Having Paris portray the bad boy so he can fool Chakotay in this game of what hustling or in this game of
very obvious
a gambling pool, you know. And, it was just very weak, I thought, you know. Yeah. So I think they could have had a better B story for this episode. Didn't happen clearly, but that's okay. We get a very, very, very good A story for the episode, so it's not a huge deal.
But they were because it's. It's what, 3 or 4 episodes from now, and he goes off the deep end, Tom Paris, like he pretends. And
oh yeah, yeah, it's coming up in season two. Yeah, it's like it's a couple episodes later. Yeah, but it's definitely coming up. Yeah,
I like that he has to apologize to Chakotay. Like, oh my god, like I'm so sorry I had to do that. Yeah. Like, Chakotay forgives him the whole bit. Like that was fun to watch. It was a good development for both of them.
Yeah, I've always liked Tom Paris.
Yeah,
and eventually we get to the episode where. You know, Tuvok cannot understand the fact that Suter would just kill for the sake of killing. You know,
there's no logic behind it.
Right? We already talked about this a little bit, you know, and I would hope that, you know, Tuvok would realize that sometimes people are just completely insane and don't really need a reason to kill, but he just can't get past that because there is zero logic to that fact. But
A Vulcan, like, the lack of logic is what he can't understand.
Yeah.
Because to a Vulcan, logic is everything. Infinite diversity and infinite combinations, as long as there's logic to it. Like, same thing with Kal-Tor. That's why Kal-Tor works, because there's logic to Kal-Tor.
That's right. And I wrote here, one of my notes, is it not logical to accept the illogical in other species? You know, so...
Well, you would think, given that they have been allied with humans for 250 years?
Since 2067. Well, 2067 is when they first encountered each other.
300 years, say?
Yeah, like... Yeah,
so two generations for Vulcans.
Yeah, so you would think that they know there's some insanity in humans, in all humanoid species, where a look, just a look can kill someone, you know?
Can start a war.
Yeah,
right?
So... but no, the doctor put it perfectly, that Tuvok is just wrapped up in his own... What, in his own logic, or in his own logic trap, I think is how he put it.
Yeah, yeah. Logic trap, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the scenes between Suter and Tuvok. There's the two of them together, talking back and forth, debating logic, debating reason, debating rationale, all of that. It's really, 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 really interesting to watch, because you can see Tuvok isn't dismissing it out of hand. He's listening. He's trying to understand. He's actively trying to understand something that he doesn't understand. And that's what a lot of us, myself included, have a hard time doing. Like, we'll make a snap judgment about someone or about a situation or about a person or whatever, and we can't change that opinion. But he is actively trying to learn and grow and change and try to understand, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons we love this character. See, look, we're just coming up to the point of the episode where I think you can kind of see the contacts of Brad Dorf. Okay. It's really hard to tell if he's
watching it now. Those have to be contacts. There's no way that they're not contacts.
Well,
like, they're so dark across the eye.
Yeah, if any listener wants to research this for us and post it on Twitter, is Brad Dorf wearing contacts or on Facebook? Or even email. We have an email we've never even used.
What is the email?
It's Earl Grey and Pick. Or no, that's the Twitter. It was you who set up the email.
Earl Grey and Picard at Gmail.
Yeah, it might be just Earl Grey and Picard. But you were definitely on Twitter under Earl Grey and PIC1. Earl Grey and Pick1. So please research. Did Brad Dorf wear contacts in the Meld episode?
Is he related to Steven Dorf at all?
That's a good question. They don't look alike, so I don't think so.
The guy from Blade?
Yeah, Blade, yeah. I don't think so.
No.
They look nothing alike.
I like in Star Trek, basically across the board, that any bad guy, and you could argue if Suter is a bad guy, like he is, obviously, but he's trying not to be. But I like that all the bad guys are not these
like one-dimensional.
Well, they're not one-dimensional characters, and they're not these arch villains. They're not arch in any way. They're and they don't look like villains. They don't have that. Well, they're hugely muscular, or they're twisting their mustache in the corner,
yeah.
or that waving the twisting the monocle around. Yeah. Kind of like, they're just like you and I. They're just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. They just happen to have a fucked up idea of what they want to do.
Yeah, they always think they're right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true through most of the Star Treks, discounting Discovery.
Yeah. And no...
Discovery's not Star Trek.
That's right. And no good villain thinks he's wrong.
Yeah, they all think they're right. Yeah. Hitler thought he was right. He thought he had the right idea. So. Yeah.
So they're all the heroes in their own story, you know?
And someone else has to be the villain in their own story. So, you know, in someone's story, I'm the villain. Someone's story, you're the villain. I think they're wrong, but...
You know. I think they're wrong, too. But so there's this one scene after the meld between Tuvok and Janeway. And
in Tuvok's room?
It's in the ready room shortly after the scene we're watching now, where Tuvok has wrecked everything in his room. And Tuvok is like...
you need to sedate me. Sedate me before you move me.
Tuvok counted 94 ways he could kill someone with just... a hand, an arm, or a foot.
And that was before Janeway walked in, so she interrupted him in that count.
Yeah, so this is a really cool scene. Like, I like the lighting, the sweat on Tim Russ / Tuvok. It's...
Yeah, talking out of the shadows.
Yeah, the direction of that one scene I thought was very, very cool.
And he knows as he's talking to Janeway, like, he knows what he's saying is... wrong and hurtful, but
his logic shines through in the end. He's like, okay, you gotta sedate me. I'm in danger. You gotta transport me.
Yeah, if you have to take me out of here, sedate me. Like, that's what it is.
So he is still somewhat there.
Yeah, Tuvok in the end will always try to protect the captain.
Yeah, but that scene I was mentioning prior, like right after Tuvok,
like that when he stands up and he's covered in sweat.
Oh yeah. Just the reaction of Janeway seeing Tuvok like that is powerful. And Tuvok kind of shaking, you know. So Tim Russ just did a fantastic job throughout this whole episode.
That would be shocking if it was, like, Paris like that. But yeah, it's fucking Tuvok.
Yeah. So it makes it even more...
Jesus.
Yeah. So anyway, there's that one scene between Tuvok and Janeway in the ready room after the initial meld. And you can tell, do you know the scene I'm talking about? You can already tell Tuvok is not quite right, you know? Just the way he's talking, the way he's moving his fingers, his hands, his whole gesture, something is a little bit off with him at that point.
Wasn't this before the suit?
Was it before?
Because he's very off here, like, he's not going to walk...
Oh yeah, so, yeah, he already had the meld at this point. Yeah, okay. So I think we passed that scene already, but, we're missing my notes. Not going fast enough.
But like, I know what you're talking about though. Like, in the ready room, they're talking.
Yeah,
you could see that Tuvok is off. Like,
is off.
Wrong.
Yeah, it was
and
very Janeway subtle.
Knows too, right?
Yeah,
like Tuvok's very subtle about it. Tim Russ is playing it very subtle.
Yeah,
but Janeway knows something.
Yeah,
isn't
and,
quite
yeah,
right.
And she's like, Tuvok, take care of yourself.
But
and
it's
she can
so
tell.
Subtle,
so
subtle.
So, yeah.
Like Tuvok does it so well. Tim Russ does it so well that like you watch it, like that's just amazing acting.
Okay, we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. Okay, so we were just rewatching the scene with Tuvok, where his emotions were completely set free. His emotional suppression was turned off, basically. And so I asked...
In sickbay,
right. So I asked Dan the question, is everything Tuvok saying in the moments of emotional release actually how he feels? Or is it... completely false? Is it just a completely different Tuvok coming through, or not? So,
well, Steve is referring to the scene in sickbay where Tuvok says to Janeway, "You disgust me." At the end of it,
all humans
really,
do.
Really, yeah, all humans do. You know, a soliloquy that is kind of fantastic for an actor to portray. I think
dig his teeth into.
Yeah, let's see. Say, like, is that his true feelings coming through? Like, no, I don't think that's his true feelings coming through. I think the only thing that is coming through there is that all of the layers of his personality and his opinion and his intellect and his reason have been stripped away. He is just speaking through the mouth of the back brain, the lizard mind.
The reptilian brain, yeah.
The reptilian brain, right? Like that instinctive brain that where you sense danger, you sense... say, a woman's interest, right? You know that she's interested.
Instinctual things.
The instinctive thing, right? Like, you walk into a bar and you know that that guy in the corner, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
That's the way he's looking at you. Like, you know, that lizard brain, I think that's where Tuvok is speaking from. That's how Tuvok is. Everybody has that lizard brain that's talking in the back of their mind. Most of us ignore it.
Yeah, it's a part of us, but we learn to control it and subdue it. And
or even, like, acknowledge it, but, like, realize that it's being idiotic. And what you actually think is, with your higher brain function, is you don't disgust me.
All reason is turned off.
Yeah, all reason is turned off. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think we all in our lives have very terrible negative thoughts, but we don't act on them, and we can just rationalize them out, and come to the conclusion that that thought we just had is complete nonsense because of X, Y, and Z. When our frontal lobe takes over from our reptilian brain,
will prevail.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So,
same idea.
What we're seeing in Tuvok is, like, the reasoning center of his brain completely deactivated, and as you said, the reptilian brain / lizard brain, whatever you want to call it, just coming through 100%. So
it's like a caveman kind of thing.
Yeah. So is it him coming through? A part of it is yes, but another part is no. It's like, am I the same person if I had a particular brain injury? If part of my frontal lobe was just not functional via injury, would I still be Steven? Yes and no, right?
Well, turn off your emotional core, mm-hmm. right? Like, the stuff you would come out with would be very different than you have the emotional core switched on, mm-hmm. you feel emotion, you can express emotion, you can experience emotion. You are going to think and speak and act very differently.
Right, like, what I was thinking today, like, am I the same person I was 7 years ago? Like, every 7 years we change to a certain degree, right? I like to think I get better every year, and especially every 7 years.
Yay.
So, but maybe not. Maybe I just become shittier and shittier year by year, right? But we all change, right? Yeah. Depending what happens to us. I know Dan, like, 4 years ago was a horrible, shitty person, and now I just tolerate him a little bit, So
I'm slightly more tolerable.
Tolerable.
Progress is progress.
Right? 200 pounds heavier now.
Only 180.
Only 180 pounds heavier. Okay. Okay, where are we here now? I also wrote, I love seeing Tuvok so vulnerable in this scene.
He's normally so stoic and all-knowing and certain of himself. To see him so put off by everything that's happened, it's neat to watch. Tim Russ does a really good job.
Yeah, I love seeing normally, very stoic, very rational characters just become completely vulnerable. Just random comparison, James Bond's, he's a usually very composed character, but then there was this one scene in Casino Royale where he gets abducted and put in this chair, which with, like, some mesh, or he was completely naked in his chair. Then you just have, like, this mesh layer
going under.
I remember at that point, he just starts crying, and I love that because James Bond is usually this very uber masculine character. Mm-hmm. Nothing phases him, but then all of a sudden, after 50 years of this character, of getting to know this character, you finally see him cry over a very terrible situation that I think any of us would cry. And plus he was just in a car accident prior to that scene. I would definitely be crying at that point. Probably.
Any question I get asked that situation, I would answer with 100% honesty right away.
Yes.
Yeah, there'd be no obfuscation at all. I would just come out like, what do you want to know? I will tell you. Oh, I'll also tell you about this and this and this and this and this.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no trying to hide anything. Yeah, seeing the human emotion there was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, and that's what we get here. We get that James Bond no mesh seat cover scene basically here, right? Although his balls aren't being tickled here, but that might be a good episode. You never know. Right? Maybe for that porn movie we talked about, right? But
Tuvok does a good job of portraying. Tim Russ does a good job of portraying the helplessness that he feels when his control is stripped away. Like I said before, at the very end of the episode, when he's apologizing to Janeway, saying he respects her so much and friend and all that, like, I believe that over the animal brain Tuvok saying that you disgust me and all that.
Yeah.
That's the true Tuvok saying, I respect you a great deal, all that. Like, that's the way it should be. He had to, he's gone through the crucible of emotional fire. Mm-hmm. He's come out the other end. He's better for it. Like, whether that pays off in the end in his life, like, who knows? But he has a better understanding of insanity, yeah, of the logic, of
the humanoid condition, not just the human condition.
But yeah, the humanoid condition. That's the way of saying it. Yeah.
And, you know, Tim Russ, he must have had a blast playing this scene. You know, he finally got to
emote, loose.
You know, emote and just do something different than playing the stoic Vulcan character. Yeah. So, I'm happy for Tim Russ, actually, in this. Yeah. You know, the fact that he gets to have these wide array of emotions in this. Good for him. Happy to see it. The only other time we get to see something like this was during his Ponfar, I think, in season 6, and it was nothing...
Season 6?
So it was later, away, but... nothing even quite as dramatic as this here, but so good for Tim Russ. What else did I write here? That camera tilt we talked about when we took a break.
Oh, the sick bay, yeah.
Yeah, and Tuvok is like, well, you're not invulnerable, hologram. With a few well-chosen commands, I can delete your program. And we just get this cool camera tilt that shows something is askew.
Just from the camera tilt alone, you know that Tuvok is not well.
Yeah, and it's just a really cool directorial thing. I thought that I'd point out, you know, that maybe nerds like us would notice, but yeah. Also, I wrote here that I want a t-shirt saying "Release the Force Field" with Tuvok acting completely crazy,
throwing the chair across.
Yes, that's the t-shirt I want. Release the Force Field in old caps and Tuvok throwing a chair. Yeah. I would buy that t-shirt.
That ultimate loss of control is amazing.
You know, we should start like a Redbubble store with these cool memes. Earl Grey Picard
fortune
on the back, and on the front is just "Release the Force Field" and Tuvok throwing something. You know. And we could come up with cool Picard ones,
or
too,
just
right?
Like a shadow of Tuvok throwing the chair.
Yeah, there you go.
Black shadow. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'd buy that shirt. So, hey, you know, maybe we'll start up a Redbubble store. You never know.
Yeah, if you want that shirt, let us know.
Yeah, we'll get it for you somehow. Okay, well, we already talked about the ending of the episode, you know, like how you really enjoyed Tuvok's apology to Janeway. I bought it. I loved it. Great delivery. Janeway appreciated it. If they didn't have that, there would have been some tension there throughout the series, you know, because Tuvok basically said, "You disgust me." And if Tuvok didn't say anything, it would have just been left hanging there like a big fruit.
Oh, totally, know? Yeah. Yeah, that would have been.
So, and I'm glad Janeway's reply was, "That means a lot to me, thank you," because she was clearly offended by that. Anyone would be.
Well, because they were like best friends.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm glad they got that out of the way, very much so. Anything else you want to talk about regarding the scenes, or you want to give a rating on the episode?
No, the only other part was Tuvok talking to Kes, you know, his protege.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, kind of breaking her down and saying, like, oh, man, that's fucking rough. Yeah. And, like, Kes is young and naive, and she has to listen to this from her mentor.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's rough.
That is rough.
But talking about rating the episode... If you rate it in the pantheon of Tuvok episodes,
yep,
it is currently, for me, and it might change later, but currently for me, 10 cups of Earl Grey.
Yeah, yeah. If we're just talking out of the Tuvok episodes, 10 cups. Yep. I'm right there with you. If we're talking about overall Voyager episodes, I'd probably give it an 8.
Give it an 8 overall Voyager. Overall Star Trek, probably a 7.
Yeah, I'd give it like a 7.5 probably.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just talk about the drinks we've had tonight. I'll give some ratings on these. Okay, so the gin and tonic, what do you give that?
Gin and tonic was fantastic.
The indigo gin from Metamorphosis.
Yeah, that one, like, for gin, fucking 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, wow.
For booze in general, probably 7.5, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm giving it, for gins, probably 7 or so, just because I don't like that vanilla aftertaste or whatever it is. I don't even know. Maybe it's a cucumber aftertaste. So a 7, you know. And the beer I had, Lost in Orbit, for 4.5%. I'm giving it a 7.5, actually, because I love it. It's good, very good taste. Love the description, love the can. So it gets a few extra points from there. But yeah, 7.5, I'd say.
The Flying Monkeys Live Transmission, the Milkshake IPA. The two of those. I think just like last time, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the exact same if we go back and listen.
Yeah, I wonder what you gave it last time. 8.5. I wonder if that's the same rating you gave it last
time.
It
is a fantastic drink. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, okay. You should go back to some episodes and see what rating you gave it back then. I'd be curious to see if it's the same one. Anyway, okay, so ending thoughts. Yeah, well, I don't know what episode we're going to do next, but stick around because we are going to do a little back and forth, dramatic.
Try to do the skit again.
We'll do a little skit as Lower Deck characters, right? And
I apologize.
But before we go there, let's talk about what we're going to do for the next episode. I'm not too sure. Maybe like one or two more Tuvok episodes. I'll leave it up to you. I'm pretty open to whatever, you know. So we can even just do Data. Oh, well, I think we should do one more Tuvok episode at least.
Well, what if we did a combined Year of Hell 1 and 2 where Tuvok goes blind and all that?
Ooh, I haven't seen those episodes in a long time.
Or there are episodes when 7 and 9 first shows up where she tries to, where Tuvok and her have a rapport. I feel like I might be making this up in my head.
They have a slight rapport, but
because they're like, both robots, basically.
they get captured by the Hirogen, I remember briefly.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's when the Rock shows up.
Oh, that was Sun Katsi.
Yeah. But that's more 7 and 9.
It's more 7 and 9. We'll do our due diligence. We'll do some research on this.
Yeah, we can't promise anything right now.
But we'll do one more Tuvok episode at least, and then after that, we'll see where we go, you know.
If you have any suggestions for ones you want us to do, let us know, Facebook or Twitter, etc. Otherwise, we'll stick with what we want to do, and you just have to, live with the consequences.
Well, I think talk to us through Twitter right now. I think that's the best way to get a hold of us. It's the one I check, and although Facebook's okay too. All right, well, that is the episode, and stick around for some bonus content. We're going to take a small break, though. Be right back. So, Dan, did you hear about Tuvok? He kind of went off the rails there in the past week, and I don't know if he's going to be the same stoic Tuvok that we've gotten to know.
Just get used to the Vulcan stern demeanor of just staring at you like you're a piece of shit. And you can't possibly be good enough to do anything. You'll never get anywhere in life. You're just a piece of garbage.
Well, okay, well.
He's Vulcan. That's so much better. So I'm not going to lie. Watching him go off the rails was kind of rewarding.
It was real, but okay, there's another thing I'm worried about. So I work with him on security detail once in a while, and rumor has it he melded. He had a little mind meld with crazy suitor down in engineering. He had a little mind meld with him, and so my concern is that, you know, he got a little bit nutty from that mind meld from suitor. So now, you know, he's always kind of worked me like a hawk, right? So now, what if he adds a bit of crazy into that workman-like demeanor of his? You know, I don't know. I'm just worried something is going to, you know, some suitor's going to get into Tuvok, and he's going to treat me even worse than he has, you know? And I don't know about working with Tuvok anymore.
All I can say, if he tries to mind meld with me, I will show him what a Vulcan nerve pinch feels like.
I guess you do stay pretty busy down there in engineering. Did you ever talk to suitor?
I've just spent way too much time just cleaning out the
Dietarian warp themselves.
Yeah,
that Taurus is a real slave driver. Well, lucky you don't have Tuvok. Holy shit, man. One day I'm going to play that guy in Parisi Squares and I'll show him who's boss, I tell you. Alright, well, my shift's about to start, so I'll see you after your shift, eh?
Well, see you if you survive.
Alright, later.